And you should always be yourself. You know, you really will have your natural approach. Having said that, you still have to make sure that you relate and connect to everyone in that call.
Welcome to the Quotable Podcast. I'm Kevin Maglietzi. Today we'll be speaking with Merrick Rosenberg. He's the CEO of Take Flight Learning and the author of The Chameleon. Today we're digging into personality styles and communication styles, and not only how to identify your style and your prospect style, but really how to adapt and ensure that you're delivering the right style in the right moment. Let's jump into it. So Merrick, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
On the podcast, we've talked about style and approach to selling, but more in the context of, you know, the different generations. And even within a generation, everybody has a different communication style. I would love to, you know, just based on the work you do, to get a better understanding of how important you've found style to be.
Style plays out in everything you do, whether it's in our personal relationships at home with our spouse and our kids, or as a leader in an organization or a salesperson or dealing with customers. So if you understand yourself and understand your style and can understand the people that are around you, you can build strong relationships, get better results. It's just fundamental to our world.
Right. So Merrick, I'm going to back up for a second because I'm so excited to dive into this topic. I completely forgot to ask you, would you just share a little bit about yourself for our listeners?
Sure. Well, in 1991, I started Team Builders Plus, which was one of the first team building companies in the United States, and did a lot of fun team building exercises and learned about personality styles in 94. And since that time had been teaching people about themselves through the DISC model. Then in 2012, I had this moment of awakening, and I always say the birds flew into my life, and I started linking the four styles to these four birds. And then from there, it Take Flight Learning grew, and I've written some books about it, and it just changed the way that I teach people about themselves and the people in their lives.
Now, in the years you've been doing this, obviously the technologies that people use have changed. How have you found that it impacted style?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it impacts our style as much as maybe we can see the styles a little bit more clearly now. You know, you go onto Facebook or you go into LinkedIn or Twitter, and what happens is we're putting ourselves out there, and you can see people's styles just in what they tweet or what they post on LinkedIn. Are you posting images of your children? Are you posting accomplishments that you've had? And that's driven by who you are. So the technology out there is really just a medium for us to put our style and out there and share it with the world.
You mentioned the birds. Before we do that, the DISC program separates the styles out into dominant, interactive, supportive, and conscientious. Now, how did you come to using birds to represent these, and what birds, for our listeners, let's define which birds apply to which style.
Sure, and they can think about which bird are you as we walk through them. So you know, you think about the four styles, and I was trying to, you know, teach people about who they are and understand their own style. And I've always been using the letters for, you know, for years. And what I found was that people just weren't remembering them. They would go through training programs and they would say, yeah, I did that DISC session and I'm the D. Wait, which one is that again? And I'm like, oh, you're killing me. You know, you spent a day together. How could you not remember that? And the challenge is that the letters need to be memorized. You need to remember that the D stands for dominant, and here are the traits that are associated with that. So I wanted to come up with something visual, or visual people. So if you think about an eagle, like, so if I say you're an eagle, what traits, what do you think? What do you think a characteristic of an eagle would be?
To me, eagle is strong. It's more direct.
Right, exactly. They're all about results. They're confident. They're assertive, right? And the cool thing about it is I don't have to teach that to you. It's intuitive. You already get it. And so if it's intuitive today, it'll be intuitive 5 years from now. So the second one is the parrot. So if somebody's a parrot style, what do you think? What do you think a few characteristics would be?
To me, parrots are bright, vibrant, very interactive kind of birds.
Exactly. They're energetic, they're colorful, they're personable, they're social and motivational. And that's, once again, it's the cool thing about the styles. It's that you already have a sense of what that bird style is like. So the next one, we smooth out the pace a little bit, calm it down, and the next one is the dove. So when you hear this person has that dove nature, what do you imagine?
I think the peacemaker, driving towards consensus. Yep.
Exactly. Harmony, peace, collaboration. And then finally, the owl. So if somebody is an owl style, how about this? First word that comes to mind when you hear owl?
I would say thoughtful.
Thoughtful. Exactly. Thoughtful. They're always thinking about what's happening. They have a plan and a process and a system. They're all about quality and accuracy. So that's what you've got. You've got the eagle, the parrot, the dove, and the owl. They parallel the D, I, S, and C. But we can spend our time talking about birds, and you don't have to say, wait a minute, which one's the D again? Which one's the I? It's just they're so easy to use and apply. And if you can't remember it, you can't be using it. So I just wanted to have something that people could access very easily and see as they meet people very quickly and be able to use in their life.
Which definitely makes sense. So I've got to ask Merrick, which one are you?
So I am the parrot is my primary style. And then I also have a secondary eagle style. And so, which is to demonstrate that we're not just one, we are a combination of all of them. We're a little bit of everything, right? So how about you? What do you think if you had to take a guess?
I've been giving this a lot of thought since you and I first talked about having you on the show. And I think my dominant would be dove, and parrot would be kind of my secondary. And I think I actually alternate between the two of them.
Sure. And when you combine those two together, they're both very people-oriented, whereas the owl and the eagle are more task-focused. So I tend to find those folks, that owl or that parrot and dove combo, they tend to be in jobs that are in service of others. They care about people. They want to help people. Maybe it's about helping people to be healthy. Maybe it's about helping people to learn. So that would make sense, right? You're sharing information to help people in their careers and in their lives.
Now, do you find that they're situational? So let's say in my personal life. So if you're looking at my Twitter or my Facebook, I may be coming across as, let's say, a parrot because I'm coming through that medium. But if you were working with me in a day-to-day context or, let's say, working on a deal with me, maybe I am much more an owl.
It is definitely true that certain situations pull out certain behaviors, but it would be hard to sustain that. It would be hard to be someone who you're not. So a specific moment in time might require you to be an eagle and step up and say, all right, here's what we need to do. But if you had to do that every single day and you're not wired for it, then it's probably pretty exhausting.
When I figure out what styles apply to me, what do you recommend for folks to figure out, especially in a selling situation, are there certain keys and clues and signs you should be looking for in what another person's style is?
Sure. And you can figure that out even before you walk into that meeting. Pull up their LinkedIn photo and what image have they selected on LinkedIn. You can look at that picture once you know the styles. I mean, think of the folks on Shark Tank. You got Kevin O'Leary, and look at his image that he selected as his photo on LinkedIn. It's like a eagle staring you down. I mean, he is looking at you. He's like looking right through you. And then you look at Mark Cuban, who's got that parrot eagle energy. And literally the LinkedIn photo he has selected is him sitting on his private jet with his arm wrapped around his championship trophy from the Dallas Mavericks and a t-shirt and a cigar in his mouth. And so you look at that and you could feel that parrot eagle. Parrot's fun. Eagle's about results, right? And so from LinkedIn, you can help figure out their style. From an email they send to you, you get an email from an eagle and it's boom, here it is. Get an email from an owl and it's got bullets and sub-bullets and charts and graphs and attachments. And, whereas you get an email from a parrot and it's like, hey, !! How's it going! !! Right? And whereas the dove is like, How are you? I hope everything's okay. So even before you meet them face to face, their LinkedIn profiles has clues, emails they send you have clues, and then you meet them face to face and you shake their hand and that eagle's got that firm grip. And the parrot's like, hey, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. You know, you can tell from the body language. So once you really understand the four styles, you just see it play out in many aspects of how they're presenting themselves.
Right. Now I feel like I kind of blew by the figuring out what you are, like, you know, personally, you know, just saying, okay, so you figure out, you know, which of the birds you are or which combination. It's, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it and you know, thinking about the eagle, parrot, dove, owl, I can see traits of myself in every one of those. So I should probably back us up a little bit for someone who hasn't had the benefit of a few weeks to really dig in and think about this. What is the best way or what tools would you suggest for really drilling down and figuring out, okay, which of these styles apply to you?
Well, the beauty of that is you really can take an assessment, and we have a Taking Flight with DISC assessment where you actually could take a profile, and it's really easy. It's 24 questions, takes about 10 minutes to take, and that will actually give you a graph of your style. But, right. You know, I'll tell you, though, I get people all the time who say to me, you know, I've read The Chameleon, they've read my book, and within just from, you know, a few of – it's a collection of fables. Just from a few fables, they – instantly can tell, oh, I can see myself. I am definitely the parrot, or I'm more of an owl with some secondary dove. I mean, it's once you get the styles, it's not hard to figure it out and see your style playing out.
Now, do you find it's usually, you know, you have one, let's say, dominant and one secondary?
Some people have a very strong dominant and also have a strong secondary style. Some people may just have one core style and that's who they are. You know, you picture somebody like Robin Williams is that parrot and he's just so bubbly and energetic. But maybe someone like Tony Robbins has got a lot of parrot because he's enthusiastic, but he's also got a lot of eagle. So he maybe is that parrot eagle combo. So yeah, some people have one strong style and some people have two, maybe even three strong styles. Most people have one that's the challenging one. That's a little harder to display that style. That's harder to be flexible, and that one often gets us in a little trouble too.
Yeah, no. For me, that would be the eagle.
Right, it takes energy, right?
It takes energy for me, and I think I grew up trying to be the peacemaker, and you know, it has pretty much carried over into all aspects of my life.
Sure.
All right, so we've talked about how to figure out your style. We've talked about, you know, using even the LinkedIn image somebody chooses to get a better understanding of that, their style, and apply. What do you recommend? I mean, one of the challenges, and we talk about this on the podcast often, is salespeople are expected to accomplish so much with so little time. And so really having the time to dig in and properly research your prospect, it can be a huge challenge to find the time to do that and really maintain the pace you need to. Any shortcuts you'd recommend if you really are in that kind of a scenario?
Well, the key is that identifying someone's style and incorporating that into your selling strategy isn't something that's should be adding time to your day. You know, you walk into their office, you shake their hand, and within a moment, you can read their style. And the beauty is that this should help you to shortcut the sales process because you are able to develop connection with them so quickly, right? If you walk in and you sense this person's an eagle, then you know you can cut out all the fluff and the schmoozing. They want you to get right down to business. If right. You know you've walked into a dove's office, you build that strong relationship first. You've got to build a connection. But once you do, you know, selling, you know, explaining the features, the benefits, and closing the deal, that's not hard to do because for them, it's all about the relationship. So if you understand their style and you flex to who they are, instead of imposing your natural style on them, which is what sales folks tend to do, they tend to impose their own style on their prospects. And boy, then you got to work for it. But you establish that connection up front, it's going to save you time at the back end.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, because I think you're absolutely right. I've seen folks, people assume that their style applies across the board. It's how they view the world. What kind of recommendations do you give for how to adapt and really open yourself up to identifying your prospect's style and meeting it or at least, you know, acknowledging it?
Sure. I always tell people we have a session. It's called Chameleon Leadership, and it's teaches people how do you sell using style. And I'm going to give you the one line. If they walk out of that program and then take one sentence out of that whole program, this would be it. And it's this: if your style is different from the person you're selling, one of you is going to leave that interaction exhausted, and it better mm-hmm. be you. Right? You better be you, because if you're not flexing to them, then they're flexing to you. So the key here is to understand, first, you've got to understand your own style, or else you're just destined to impose it on others. If I'm a parrot and I think, hey, I want a salesperson to be enthusiastic and passionate, then I walk into a sales call and I'm like, you are going to love it. But what if I'm talking to an owl and it's like, yeah, but I want to understand how this works. I want all the information. So if I'm a parrot selling an owl, will that take energy for me? Absolutely. I'm going to have to dial down the parrot enthusiasm and turn up the owl detail. But when I do that, I'm creating a connection and I'm satisfying their needs. And when I satisfy their needs, that's how you close the deal.
And I would say from my past experience being sold to, you know, I have a really difficult time with eagles who are, you know, just very aggressive in what they're doing with absolutely no accommodation for a difference in style. To me, it actually undermined my trust in their ability to address my needs.
Right, because they don't understand you and they're actually pushing you away. I had this experience recently. I mean, the classic, I was buying a car for my son and you know, I'm a parrot and he's a parrot. And we walked in and we got an owl salesperson who was literally the amount of statistics and
let me pull out the data, binder and walk through it.
he opened the hood and he started sharing data. And I said to him, I said, look, trust me, that's not going to work for me. You don't need to provide that level of detail for me. We just want to get in the car. We want to drive around. We want to feel it. And he said, all right, no worries. He shuts the hood. We get in the car. And it was a running dialogue of statistics the entire time.
And he just couldn't let go. Right?
Yeah, he couldn't let go. He lacked style flexibility. And that's what gets a salesperson in trouble.
Right. But, you know, sadly, I see it happen often.
Right. And it's what happens is that sales folks are imposing their style on others. You know, there's this great George Carlin line. He had said, everyone driving slower than me is an idiot and everyone driving faster than me is a maniac. Right. It's because we think, well, my way is the right way. And if everybody does what I do or everybody needs what I need, and therefore I'm going to treat them the way I would want to be treated instead of recognizing, you know, they're different than I am and I need to communicate to them differently. Will that take energy? Yeah, it will, but you're going to be much more successful.
Now, is it more difficult to translate this into, like, let's say a text-based medium, whether it's email or even instant messaging with a prospect?
No, you know, if I know somebody, for example, is an owl, then I'm going to provide them a tremendous amount of data, right? I mean, I got an email recently. I'll give you an example and show you how you can just build credibility and trust in that relationship. It's not necessarily a selling situation, but you can see what happened here. I was about to speak at a conference and I got an email from the person who was arranging the event, and it was my first interaction with her. And so she had sent me an email with like 14 questions and sub questions, and it was filled with bullets. And I immediately, you can probably guess what style she is, right?
Yep.
You know, she's the owl. And so I also sensed the dove. She said, hi, I just want to make sure everything's okay. I want to walk through the details and I want you to be comfortable. So I could feel she's got some owl. She's got some dove. Okay. I wrote an email back to her. And instead of answering each question with one word, for example, what time will you arrive? I could have said 8 a.m. But I said, I'm going to arrive at 8 a.m. When I get there, I'm going to check the space. I'm going to test my microphone. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to check the stage. And I walked through every answer in several sentences. Well, the email I got back from her was, thank you so much. I'm so comfortable now. I really appreciate this opportunity to work with you. I know I don't have to worry about you. I have so many things at this conference, and I know this is going to be, and she wrote me a whole letter about how appreciative she was. Now,
right.
Did that take me more time to write that email? Yeah. I'm a parrot eagle. I want to write one word answer for all of those. But, you know, I recognize that she's an owl and a dove, and she needed to be comfortable, and she needed the detail. And I honored that. And I built trust. I built a relationship. And imagine if she was a prospect. How likely am I to sell her if I honor her style versus I spoke to her as an, if I'm an eagle, just was very blunt and direct. I'm not going to create that connection with her.
Right. Video is becoming more popular and more prevalent. Regardless of what tool, and you've got the real-time conversation, so we're having a video meeting, but you also have the, you know, native videos on LinkedIn and other areas that videos are popping up. What's your recommendation for, you know, let's say I want to have videos I'm posting to LinkedIn because, you know, I think it'd be a great way to, let's say, share my thoughts on an article or, you know, something that I've come across, and I'm let's say I'm not a big writer. What's your recommendation? Do you just go at it with your own style? Do you try and find kind of a middle ground so that you're not turning off any potential prospects?
Well, the challenge is that whose style are we most likely to conduct that video in or present ourselves in? And the answer is, of course, our own. And that's right. Great. And you should always be yourself. You know, you really will have your natural approach. Having said that, you still have to make sure that you relate and connect to everyone in that call. So we're watching that video. So it's just like walking into a sales meeting and there's a room full of people and you've had the person you've been speaking to for weeks, but they've walked you into a room and there's all these people there and now you don't know any of their styles. What do? You've got to trigger all of their hardwiring. So you might say, let's say you're sharing a product. You might start off with the ego and say, so bottom line, here's what this will do for your organization. Then you pop into the parrot and say, now, let me tell you, this is going to transform your culture. This is a game changer. This changes everything. Now, and then you maybe hit the dove and say, now I know it's new and I know it's different. And I know you haven't used a system like this before, but we're going to work with you. We're going to be there for you. And we're going to make sure you're happy and you're satisfied. Now, let me walk through the specifics of our process so I can show you exactly how this works. So what did I do? I hit the eagle, the parrot, the dove, and the owl. If I only went in there being my natural parrot style, I may not connect to people on a video who are different than I am or in a sales call who are different. So the power of understanding styles is recognizing that you just need to be a little flexible and you could hit all four of them in one presentation, whether it's a video or a face-to-face presentation.
I like that because you're not really watering it down and kind of going for neutral. You're just trying to find a way to integrate all four styles into what you're presenting.
Right. Because, you know, if I stay in parrot mode, how's that owl going to be doing? You know, they're looking at that. Okay, this rah-rah enthusiasm is wonderful, but where's all the information? But when I get to the information, they're tuning in. And maybe when I get to the detail, the parrot's like, yeah, I don't need that. But they leave and they're pumped. So if you trigger each one of their hardwiring, the eagle with the bottom line, the dove with that personal connection, the owl with the detail and process, the parrot with energy and excitement, when you can trigger someone's natural hardwiring, you've engaged them, right? They're in, they're listening to you now. And whatever medium you're using, whether it's video or face-to-face, you got to hit them all.
Do you find when you work, especially with sales teams, that leaders are good at adapting their styles with their reps and vice versa? Or do you find that folks just really, you know, truck along at using whatever style they're most comfortable in?
You know, the reality is most people impose their style on others and they do it all the time. But the most successful leaders are those who create an environment in which their people will thrive as opposed to an environment in which they themselves will thrive. So, for example, let's say you're an owl sales manager, you're that VP of sales, and you've got a process and a system, and you have checklists and procedures, and you know exactly how the most successful salespeople sell, and you have benchmarked it, and you say, here's how we sell, and you have an entire team of parrots. How do those parrots feel?
Very uncomfortable.
Right? They're boxed in like, hey, didn't you hire me to figure this out and let me be myself? So that if that sales manager, that VP of sales recognized, hey, I've got a group of parrots here. Yeah, we need to have structure and process so that there's consistency in messaging and you know, how we track our data. But, you know, we need to give them some freedom. And if I box them in too much, they're not going to be happy or successful. So the most successful leaders are what I call the chameleon. They're the ones who are flexible and adaptable. They honor the energy of, and style of the people, and then they flex to them.
Now, I can imagine that, and I've seen this play out, that, you know, the reps always try to adapt to the leader's style. Are there scenarios where you think it's in your best interest to not?
Well, the reality is you do have to be yourself, right? It's you have to honor your own natural style too. You can't be flexing every single moment of the day. What I always tell folks is there are key moments that you say, okay, this is a time I need to be flexible and adaptable. For example, in conflict, you know, it's probably good for you to understand the person you're talking to. If an eagle's talking to a dove, they probably need to dial it down a little, or they're now going to be arguing about how they're arguing instead of arguing about what they're talking about.
Right.
And so there are clear moments that are critical. I say, look, you don't have to be flexing it every minute of your life. That'd be exhausting. But find those moments where you really need to connect, and that's when you really need to apply the four styles.
Okay, so the moments that give you the most impact.
Sure, absolutely.
So, Eric, a lot of my thinking is obviously around the workplace and you know, how our listeners can sell better. Do you find that styles differ whether you're in work versus at home?
For some people, they are completely consistent at home, at work, no matter where they go. For other people, our styles can change depending upon the setting we're in. So let's say, for example, your parrot style isn't very strong at home, but the role that you're in requires it. And at work, then you do dial it up a little bit. So sometimes we actually need to flex and adapt our style to the situation or to the job that we have, not just to a particular customer or prospect. So it does change a little bit. You know, we're a combination of all four, and sometimes they play out differently at home versus work or in particular settings.
I like that. I've been thinking about it in the context of work. Now I'm gonna go back and look at which styles I'm really exhibiting at home as well.
Right. And it helps to explain the relationship. It helps us to understand, well, that's why we get in conflict here, or that's why we connect. I mean, and what's interesting is that opposites attract. So the eagle and the dove are opposite styles, and the parrot and the owl are opposite styles, and they tend to get married most often. Eagles and doves tend to be married most often. Parrots and owls tend to be married most often. It's like we say, they complete me. They're my other half. But you know, during great, calm, easy, fun times, the opposites attract. During stressful times, they actually repel. It's hard to deal with the person who's so different from you when you're under stress.
Yeah, and I would say from experience, I think you try and take on, for good or ill, you try and take on some of the characteristics of your partner or the people you spend the most time with.
Well, sometimes we need to. It's a survival instinct. I'm the parrot. My wife is an owl. There are times when I need to be very specific about, you know, what I'm explaining to her and how to do something or where to go. If I just be like, yeah, it's just down the street, you'll see it. That's not enough. So yeah. I need to make sure that I turn up that owl energy at times to make sure I'm satisfying her needs too.
So I want to ask you our lightning round question. And that is, if you could take all the knowledge and experience you have now, go back to the beginning of your career, and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I would tell myself that I need to turn up that owl energy a little bit more. That I think I stayed in my natural parrot mode, and that was just who I was. But those times where it got me in trouble from college, you know, not planning ahead to study for exams when I probably needed a little bit of owl organization, to starting a company and documenting everything you do, you know, instead of having those moments of, wow, that worked. Not sure how we did it. It just happened. And then you can never replicate it again. But if you asked an owl, they'd be like, I'll tell you exactly how we did that. I think it would be to turn up some owl energy at times, because I think that perhaps got me into trouble when I was younger.
That's great advice. Awesome. Merrick, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. For more conversations like this, visit quotable.com.